Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11, story about a lost sheep, story about a lost coin, and now this story. Verse 11, Luke 15. Then Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, Father, give me my share of the property. So the father divided his property between his two sons. After a few days, the younger son gathered his possessions and left for a country far away from home. There he wasted everything he had on a wild lifestyle. He had nothing left when a severe famine spread throughout that country. He had nothing to live on, so he got a job from someone in that country and was sent to feed pigs in the fields. No one in the country would give him any food, and he was so hungry that he would have eaten what the pigs were eating. Finally, he came to his senses. He said, how many of my father's hired men have more food than they can eat while I'm starving to death here? I'll go at once to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. Make me one of your hired men. So he went at once to his father while he was still at a distance. His father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son, put his arms around him and kissed him. Then his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. The father said to his servants, hurry, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let's celebrate with a feast. My son was dead and has come back to life. He was lost but has been found. Then they began to celebrate. His older son was in the field. As he was coming back to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called to one of the servants and asked what was happening. The servant told him, your brother has come home, so your father has killed the fattened calf to celebrate your brother's safe return. Then the older son became angry and wouldn't go into the house. His father came out and begged him to come in, but he answered his father, all these years I've worked like a slave for you. I've never disobeyed one of your commands, yet you've never given me so much as a little goat for a celebration with my friends. But this son of yours spent your money on prostitutes, and when he came home, you killed the fattened calf for him? His father said to him, my child, you're always welcome. You're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we have something to celebrate, something to be happy about. This brother of yours was dead, but has come back to life. He was lost, but has been found. I'll share with you for a few more moments. I think that the Pharisees and the scribes, the accusers of Jesus, they got that first story. They know what it's like for a shepherd to find a lost sheep and bring it back and celebrate. They know what it's like to lose a valuable sum of money and then to find it. This next story, I don't think they got it as much. Remember, the charge against Jesus was that he welcomed and ate with sinners. The prodigal son is probably one of the most told and portrayed stories in our Bibles. Kids from, you know, they're down here. They learn about the prodigal son. And as we grow up in church, we're preach this sermon, and often the focus is on one of two things. Either the focus is on the younger brother, or this young person who went out and he lived righteous living, you know, wasteful living. He wasted his money on prostitutes. I remember being in a VBS when I was a young child, and we played, you know, did the prodigal son. I was the father and I had on a robe, and the guy that played the prodigal son, he went out to the far country, and we had girls who all dressed up in makeup and they were the prostitutes, and he was throwing money at them. And, you know, then he came home, and we focus on the young people who go away and they're prodigal, and there's a aching in our hearts for those who have wandered away. They've gone away and we want them to come home because they're prodigal. They're lost. And when they come home, we celebrate that they come home. We've heard that sermon, or maybe we've heard the sermon of taking, you know, from the elder brother's standpoint, that when people come back who are lost, that we shouldn't, you know, embody the attitude of the elder brother, the older brother who seemingly wasn't gracious, wasn't happy to see that someone who was lost, his brother, his younger brother, you know, often older brothers, you know, are very protective of their younger, you know, siblings, but this older brother was upset. He was mad. You know, I've been here all this time, Dad. You never killed a goat for me. You done killed the family pet, the fatted calf. What have you done for me? And so what we're, you know, what we end up doing is trying to choose, you know, are we the younger brother or the older brother? And in many ways, we forget the father. This painting up here is a Rembrandt. And there's a guy by the name of Henry Nouwen, who's one of my favorite authors, who saw this Rembrandt painting. This is Rembrandt's rendering of the son going back to his father, the prodigal son returning to the father. Henry Nouwen wrote this huge meditation, and it is a book, one of my favorite books, The Return of the Prodigal. And in the book, he talks about how looking at this painting spoke more to him about the father than it did the younger son or the older son. In fact, looking at this painting and then going back and looking at the text, he was moved to a better understanding about the father. Quickly, let me share with you some maybe misreadings in this text. First misreading, I think, comes in verse number 17 in Luke chapter 15, where after this guy has lived this life, and he was pretty, man, he was at a pretty low state. He was in a faraway country, which is to say he was probably in a Gentile country, a non-Jewish country. And he was doing the job, the lowest job that any Jew would ever consider, dealing with filthy animals. He was feeding the pigs. He was so low, so just down and so out of it that he got to a point where he was tempted to eat the food that he was feeding pigs. We get to verse number 17 and we read this. Finally, he came to his senses. And oftentimes when we read this text and preach this text, we say this is the point where the guy repented. And I would beg to differ. I don't think that that's repentance. I think this is coming to his senses. And what it means coming to his senses is he's sitting in this pig pen, feeding these pigs, and it hits him. What am I doing? My father has hired servants that live better than this. I would submit that if it was true repentance, why did he say the hired servants? Why did he go further and say the slaves? Why did he mention the guys that were getting paid? Why did he then say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back. I'm going to say, hey, let me become one of your hired servants. If it was true repentance, why didn't he say, let me just be one of your servants? This phrase, coming to his senses, is found in other places, even in the Gospel of Luke, and it doesn't necessarily represent repentance. Remember the charge against Jesus? Was the charge against Jesus that he was eating with sinners who repented? Or was it a charge that he was eating with sinners who were sinning? So we misread that and we think, oh, see the prodigal son, see he repented when he came to his senses and then he went back. And as you continue to read the story, he gets there. Remember, he rehearses in the pig pen. I'm going to go. I'm going to fall to his knees. I'm going to say, God, or our father, you know, I've sinned against you and I've done that. And he goes and his father, and I love this, his father was looking afar off, which is to say his father never stopped looking for him. And he shows up. And what does the father do? What does the text say the father did? He ran to him. The father ran to him. Now remember that rehearsed speech that the son said he was going to give when he got to his father? Did he say that rehearsed speech after the father went to him or before? after. And do you notice that the rehearsed speech didn't really sound like the rehearsed speech, or the speech he gave didn't really sound a lot like the rehearsed speech? He went to the father. He went once to his father while he was still at a distance. This is verse 20. His father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son, put his arms around him, kissed him. Then his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. I don't deserve to be called your son anymore." It sounds a little bit different than the rehearsed speech. And I think this speech is a response to the love and grace that the Father extended to the Son. The Father said to his servants, "Hurry, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calves, kill it. Let's celebrate with a feast. My son was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but has been found." Then they begin to celebrate. There was a celebration when this son came back. And we would like to think that this son was all, you know, penitent, and that's what caused the father to extend his arms out to his son. But his father knew none of his intentions until after he ran to him, and after he hugged him, and after he kissed him. Jesus is doing something here that he didn't do with the first two stories. The first two stories about the calf, about the lost sheep and the lost coin, the Pharisees got that. But when it got to this one, I don't think they quite got it. I think in many ways that this story was offensive. Then he goes on to tell the story about the older brother and how the older brother wasn't appreciative, and how the older brother was always there, and he was a recipient of the same grace that he had just extended to this younger son, and that the older brother should be happy. Jesus was teaching something that was radical. And in this setting, it was a hard teaching. In essence, I believe that what Jesus was saying, particularly with this third story of the lost son, was that in order for people to get to a point where they are the lost sheep recovered, where they are the lost coin recovered, before they get there, we've got to get to them. We've got to be with them. Jesus eating with sinners, eating with tax collectors, posed an opportunity for him to reach out to those who were lost, to reach out to those who thought they were untouchable. In fact, as Jesus ate with these sinners, it was as if it was a father running someone who was lost, and being able, given the opportunity, to extend grace, to extend forgiveness, to extend love, to extend acceptance. If we live our lives not dealing with people because they're bad people, we spend our times trying to stay away from the people who are bad, how are they going to know about the grace of God? So what Jesus was saying using this story is that our attitude ought to be that of the Father who welcomes his son back before the speech, before the repentance, extends the grace. And for those who choose to do it, they'll respond to that grace in repentance. God makes the first move, not the person. God extends the grace. God extends the arms to say, "Come back." God extends the arms and says, "Be a part of me." Pharisees had it wrong. Pharisees said, "Let's just get rid of all of the sinners. Let's just get rid of them. We don't want to eat with them. We want to touch them. We don't want to be with them." Jesus is trying to reorient our thinking. He's trying to reorient the way we treat people who are the others, sinners, tax collectors. There's a preacher up in the Polaris area. It's a preacher at a church plant, a Christian church up there, and he expressed that God was just kind of putting on his heart, you know, some, you know, moving him to really reach out to people that we normally look over. So it led him to a local bar in the Polaris area. So it was a Tuesday afternoon, and he goes in this bar, and there were a group of guys there, and he just went in and he sat down with the guys. He said, "Hey, you know, do you guys come in here often?" They said, "Yeah, man, we come here every Tuesday afternoon to have a brew and just, you know, just talk and share stuff." And he said at the time there were a couple guys that were pretty sauced up. He said, "Hey, if I came in here every Tuesday and bought you around, would you allow me to just come here and just talk with you, man? I'm a preacher, and I'm not going to come here and try to, you know, bat you over the head. I just want to talk with you." So for close to 2 years, he's been going in his bar, sitting down with these group of guys, forging relationships. A couple of the guys still have a beer every now and then. They're going to church. Now forget what you think about bars or drinking. If Jesus was standing here right now and he saw that, don't you think he'd be pleased by that? Don't you think Jesus would be moved by that? Don't you think Jesus was saying, "That's the Father"? Trying to decide whether we're the younger brother or the older brother, I think that's missing the point of the story. The point is, are we willing to get dirty? Are we willing for our reputations to be ruined? Are we willing to be accused of associating with low lives, all for the sake of the kingdom of God? That's why this teaching is a hard teaching. Because we spend so much time trying to get people cleaned up, come to us cleaned up, rather than us going out there and being with them, their element, being with the alcoholic, being with the drug user, being with the prostitute, being with the thief, being with the homosexual, being with the others. There's a call for us, church. Right out of the mouth of Jesus Christ himself, that we reorient our way of thinking, that we welcome sinners, that we give them the opportunity by going to them to come into contact with the grace of God. The reason why Jesus Christ could talk so much about the Pharisees and talk so much about, you know, people's condition is because Jesus didn't just talk about them. He went with them. He ate with them. Read Luke. See how many times he ate with the Pharisees. He didn't just say, "Pharisees, you're this and this and blah, 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 blah." Oftentimes, look through the Gospel of Luke. He sat down in the house of a Pharisee, eating dinner with them, talking to him about the kingdom of God. We get it when it comes to the sheep, and we get it when it comes to the coin, but when it comes to the lost son, there's a point of disconnect. It would make sense if came to his senses means repented, because that means that a father ran to the son who was repentant and all good. The father ran to him before he heard a word, before he heard this, came to his senses, and he reached out to him, and he had a celebration, and he had a party. Church, we need to orient our lives to match that of Jesus Christ. When will we realize that people need the Lord? When will we realize that they need it so much that they need us to come to them? When will we realize that we need to open up our table to others? Maybe God will put on your heart to go into a local tavern, reach out. Maybe God might put on your heart to go into the streets, reach out to those who right now, as we speak, taking needles with heroin, putting it in their veins. Maybe God is calling you to go to that poor woman who's so low down on her luck, so have been so mistreated, have been so put down, been told all her life that she's worth nothing. She's made some poor decisions, but no one has helped her try to reorient to make better decisions. Maybe God is calling you to go to her and say, stop selling your body on the street. Let's go get a burger. Let's just talk. Let's just meet once a week. Let's just meet in this restaurant right here. I'll buy you lunch and let's talk. Oh, it would be great. And I'm sure that God will send us people who want to change their lives, and they'll send them right through those doors, and they'll come and say, I want to make a change. But often that's just not the case. There's a world out there waiting for us to invite them to the table. So Pharisees, Jesus says, you can accuse me of whatever you want. This is what it's about. That is the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, people need the Lord, and they need us to have a welcoming spirit like Jesus. Oftentimes, because Jesus welcomed people, they walked away changed. God, if we don't welcome people to the table, we don't give them an opportunity to walk away changed. God, I know right now that you are working on people's hearts. You're working on people right now as we speak. You're working on a young woman who selling her body on the streets. You're working her right now. You're going to lead her in the right direction. You're working with that guy or that girl that's shooting her arms full of dope. You're working with that guy who, a woman who is just drinking themselves to death. You're working with that guy who's struggling, a woman who's struggling with sexual identity. God, you're working with all of those people, and I have faith that you're going to lead them to you and faithful, loving relationship. God, there are others that I believe that you are calling us in here to go to right now, this week, this month, this year. God, I pray that we will faithfully accept your call, your prodding, and that we will go with a reoriented mindset, a reoriented thinking process, reorient attitude, that you love them, that you want them at the table, so that they can be presented with the same grace that you've blessed us with. God, help us. Help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand up, and we're going to sing a song in just a second. You can go ahead and stand up, and we'll have a time of invitation. If you desire prayers, if you desire help from the church in any way, we can pray for you, be there for you, talk to you. While we have to be careful how we read this story, I would imagine that there may be someone in here who has lived the life of the prodigal, has lived the wild life, has lived the life, and you find yourself now in the pits. I want you to know right now that there's a God with his arms wide open, ready to receive you. Maybe you find yourself as the older brother, mad when people come to God, mad when you see God's grace being displayed to people who you don't think ought to deserve grace, when you see people getting off, they don't get punished the way that we want them to get punished, and grace is displayed to them. And I want you to know that it's not the spirit of Jesus. And if you desire for that to be purged by the prayers of the church, we want you to, I invite you to do that. If you desire to just move closer to the heart of God, to be the one that would welcome, that would invite people to the table, if you desire to be prayed closer to becoming like the gracious Father, I invite you to come as we sing.